Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today we're chatting with Nadia Heine. Nadia has set over 20 FKTs in the Western United States and Germany. Today we're going to chat about her recent unsupported female FKT on the Capitol Reef Four Canyon Loop, as well as what drives her to set FKTs. So let's dive in. Thanks, Nadia, for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Heather. Thanks for having me.
I was wondering if we could start with you just telling us a little bit about how you got your start in trail running.
So I was actually never big into running. I always just did it as a means for cross training for my extra sport when I was younger. And I just kept on jogging, especially during my times, like when I was in Berlin studying. I didn't have much time to focus on sports, so I just kept jogging. I did one half marathon back in Germany and then one marathon when I came to the United States, both on the road. And especially the marathon was so hard. I really didn't like it, suffering so much. I was in Los Angeles and I trained for it in the Bay Area. So I was really overwhelmed by the heat. I get also really injured as I couldn't run, but I could hike. And so the hiking got me into backpacking, which I've never done before. And California is so beautiful. I just instantly fell in love with it. And at one point I could run again. I was like, why am I not running on these trails? This is so much better than running on road.
Yeah.
Right. I really don't even know why I signed up for a 50K just out of the blue, the North Face 50K. And I got really scared because it's such a long distance.
Yeah.
And I bought this book from Chrissy Merle, Running Your First Ultramarathon, first 100, I can't remember. In the book, she said you should join a running group. So I joined a running group, the BRC running group in Berkeley. It's a trail running group. And these people just really inspired me. They all ran like these ultra long distances, which I thought was absolutely crazy. It's like, how can you run 100 miles? I thought this is totally insane back then.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your transition like from running and then trail running to setting FKTs?
Good question. Yeah, I was thinking about how I get inspired to do FKTs. I think I just came across it by accident. Again, I did a backpacking trip along the Lost Coast a few years back. And the Lost Coast is the northern part. Back then, I only knew about the northern part. It's this 25 miles route along the coast. And we took 3 days because of the tides and everything, and we went slow. And like on the way, I thought, like, I could easily run this. Right. I told my friends who I was hiking with, and they were just like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, no, this seems easy enough. What could possibly go wrong? Right. Then I researched it a little bit, and I found the southern terminus of the Lost Coast. And so I thought, why not run all of this? Yeah, and I researched very well for this, and I found it as an FKT. I was like, what the hell is an FKT? Right. And I think this was the first time I came across the FKT homepage. And then I ran this FKT and I was like, oh, there are more routes. And I just got into exploring these routes, and I'm getting a lot of inspiration from all the routes throughout the United States. I recently discovered we also have this in Germany. So I discovered a lot of really cool routes, which is really appreciate all the inspiration from other people who are submitting these routes, which I would have probably never come across by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. The FKT website has a lot of resources. Do you use the FKT website like just to kind of snoop around and see what there is in like your region?
Yeah, I actually do. I used to do a lot of my own route planning, and I wasn't aware of that, but my job situation had changed since then. I was a postdoc back then, so I had way more time, and then I started real life jobs, and I just have much less vacation, I have much less time, and so it's much easier to get inspired by other people who have already put all this effort into preparing the routes with some better out there.
Yeah. For me, typically what I do is I have a route that I want to do, and then I go to the FKT site. But I think it's a great way to use it if you're looking for routes in your area, to just go on there and see, oh, look, there's all these routes and the information is there for me. I noticed when I was looking at all of your FKTs, they're almost all but one of them is unsupported. And I think that a lot of times people tend to go more for like towards the supported end, or they could do really short FKTs. And you've got some pretty long FKTs in there, and they're all unsupported. And So I'm curious why you like that method and what is it you enjoy about going unsupported?
I think at the beginning, I didn't know all that many people. So there was just no one who was crazy enough to do all this stuff with me. So I just went by myself. Sometimes it's hard to plan. I've done definitely also a few supported things, but typically not as FKTs, like around the Wonderland Trail, around Mount Rainier or rim to rim to rim, things like this. Stuff where I could never have a chance of getting the FKT. So no, first it was really just because there was no one to support me. And recently I've started to do more supported just because I learned that I actually really enjoy running with other people. But often I don't plan it very well, so I don't want to track other people into this.
Because, Probably a good idea if you want to keep your friends.
Exactly. But yeah, no, the last one I did, I wanted to do by myself. It was actually last Sunday, it was a 50-miler around in Marin. But then really last minute decided that it's probably more fun if I invite my friends. And I always pace my friends. I always dare to crew for them. But then I don't want to inconvenience them. Which I actually don't do. They actually have fun helping me out with this and supporting me and running with me. So So I did that last one supported, and I'm very glad I did. It was a lot of fun.
Good. Yeah. Good. What do you think is the most challenging part of doing an FKT unsupported, at least for you?
I'm definitely more scared. I think it's more dangerous, right, to do things unsupported often. What I'm mostly scared of is running out of water, because a lot of stuff I did in the desert, or even in the East Bay, you can run out of water. Right. I did that a lot of times. And I mean, you know how this feels since you wrote an entire book about this. That's one thing I'm worried about. The other thing is wildlife, like running into rattlesnakes. I had some really close encounters, and often I'm somewhere in the backcountry and you're really screwed if you get bitten by a rattlesnake out there.
Right.
And you're by yourself.
Yeah. Were any of your rattlesnake encounters frightening other than just you saw the rattlesnake? Like, or did the snakes mostly just leave you alone? Did you ever have anything that we've considered like a close call?
I'm typically not scared. I just see them going by. But I had some encounters where I definitely almost stepped on one, and one of them coiled up and it was very close and I was about to, that's a call, to jump at me.
Oh, yeah.
And that was very scary. And I was somewhere in Yosemite in the backcountry, like at Lake Vernon. So we're just really out there.
Yeah, I think rattlesnakes are fine, but when they're angry, they're very frightening.
Yeah. No, I like seeing them from a distance, but not if they're coiled up and ready to like charge at you.
I think all wildlife, it's nice at a distance.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a common thing. And I think it stops a lot of people actually from going out and doing unsupported, not just FKTs, but just unsupported solo efforts. And are there any FKTs or routes that you really wanted to do, but you didn't want to go unsupported, so you've put them off?
Yes, there are. There's another thing I definitely have a lot of respect for is when a route is not very well traveled and you don't know what it's like, right? And it's a loop or it's a point to point. Yeah, I got into situations where I had to swim through rivers that I was really scared, but there was just no way back. So I had to go through. I was pretty close to a waterfall. One of the things, or where you just have a bear in the middle of the trail, or a mountain lion or whatever, and there's just no way around. So you just have to go back, or you have to sit there and wait until they pass by. So back to your actual question. One of them is actually Mount Whitney. I ran up Mount Whitney several times on the normal route, and I'm definitely comfortable with using ice axe and crampons and stuff, but I would like to do the mountaineering route, and I wasn't comfortable enough to do this by myself. Climbing routes, I have a lot of respect for scrambling routes.
I think it's good to have a respect, especially if it's something that you don't necessarily have the technical skills at the level that you feel that would make you feel comfortable. It's good to push yourself, especially in an FKT, but also knowing that boundary. It's really important.
Yeah, it's super important to know your limits, because you don't want to be the person who has to get rescued, or even worse, gets into a situation where it's really hard to get rescued. Right? You don't want to get other people into a situation like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. What kind of advice would you give somebody who is considering an unsupported FKT that's within their skill set, but they're afraid to go out and attempt it? What was helpful for you to get yourself out there on your FKTs when you're feeling a little intimidated or afraid of the route?
Yeah, I don't know. I just did it. In the beginning, I ran into a bunch of borderline dangerous situations. But back then, I just didn't even think about them. I was definitely a little bit overconfident, I would say. And now I'm much better prepared. I think it's very important to be very well prepared, to really picture the route. And especially if it's a long one or if it's somewhere in the desert, make sure you know your water sources. You always carry enough water. I feel like one problem that I often run into is I want to push myself really hard. I want to go fast. And then I don't filter enough water where I should because I'm like, oh no, I just wait for this next source. It's just never a good idea.
Right.
So yeah, just be really well prepared. Talk to people who've done this route before. I think it's always a good idea.
Yeah, preparation is key.
Yeah, talk to rangers before to learn about the current conditions.
That kind of brings me to your Capitol Reef Four Canyon Loop. How remote is this loop? I was reading your report and it sounds a bit technical and that there's some objective hazards. And so is it way out there or are you close to help? Tell us a little bit about the route.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my less prepared routes, which that was actually quite funny. I just told you I'm preparing much more now, but for that one, I really didn't. We went on vacation. I just took this week off, but we didn't plan anything. We put all of our stuff in our camper van and then we just drove east and ended up in Capitol Reef. And I was like, oh, there's this cool FKT route. And I've been there before. I just did a few runs there and it is actually not very remote. And it's only 26 miles with not much elevation gain. So I got totally overconfident. I was like, what's the worst thing that could go wrong, right? I can run 26 miles. And it seems so easy. People have done it in 4 hours. So I add like 30%, 50% to the fastest man's time. And that's typically the max I take. So I was totally overconfident about it and didn't read properly through the descriptions. It also halfway, twice you run along, but you pass the road, right? So it's really not super remote.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing I really made sure about was the water sources again, because it can be really dry. And I talked to the rangers before because I just briefly read that there's some deeper parts in the river that you have to cross and there's some waterfalls you have to down climb. And I was like, oh, it's probably not that bad. I should have totally taken that more seriously. But I asked the ranger if all of these trails were accessible. And she was like, yeah, this is accessible. But this is 26 miles. So you cannot do this in one day. And I was like, yeah, okay, no. And then and rangers will always tell you that you cannot do that distance in a day. And they should warn people about this because I bet a lot of people are getting themselves in dangerous situations that they have to rescue them out of. So well, it's not very remote, but it's pretty technical. Oh, one important thing also, I would always check for flash floods. That's the one thing I'm super cautious about because I've read such horror stories about flash floods. So I would never go if there's just the slightest chance of anything being flooded. But the conditions were great. So I just went out. And you first go through, what's it called? I think Kohab Canyon along the Frying Pan Trail. Have you been to Capitol Reef? Or?
I have, yes. Yeah, I haven't done this route.
I would highly recommend it. It's really beautiful. It's just gorgeous. All of these different red and white stones and the washes that you go through are really pretty. The first third of this run was just easy on the trail, nothing big. And then you have to cross a river, but it was not very deep. And then you go into Lower Spring Canyon. And I kind of assumed, I didn't read this part, so I didn't know. It's like a canyon. And it's like this washed out canyon where you basically run on sand for a long, long time. And I really do not like running on sand. So I was extremely slow going. I was really suffering through that part. It's like 10 miles or something.
That's a long ways on sand.
It is. Yeah. I was definitely contemplating my choices there. But I made it out and I was pretty low in water by the end. I did not read about the Sulphur Creek, really, other than that there's like some down climbing waterfalls. But I thought I'd still try. Maybe there's not much water. So I was worried about running out of water. But But turns out the last 6 miles of this trail are completely in a creek. So you're basically at all times are in water. That part is so much fun. I actually really recommend that. Also, I have to say, I got scared on the way because there are actually waterfalls that you have to down climb. And it wasn't very obvious for some of them which route to take and where to go. But I figured it out eventually, made it safely down. And then to one part, you had to swim through, which was nice because it was a hot day. Yeah.
How deep was the water that you had to swim through?
I could almost stand. I just had to swim a little bit at that one section. It wasn't terrible. I had to swim through worse things in the past. But yeah, I wish I would have prepared a little bit better. But in general, I would really recommend this route. It's beautiful. It gets you through all the main canyons of Capitol Reef, which they're gorgeous. I also got to see some wildflowers, which I think was pretty special there. Yeah. And then the last part, the Sulphur Creek part, is actually really cool because it reminded me a lot of the Narrows in Zion National Park. Just there's no one. But the first part of the trail through the Grand Wash, there were so many people. But then in Lower Spring Canyon, there was maybe two people and one deer. This kid had accompanied me for a while, which was fun.
Yeah.
And in Sulphur Creek, I ran into one couple. That was it.
Wow.
But yeah.
That's one of the things that has always struck me when I've been to Capitol Reef is that there's just not a lot of people in the park, especially in the backcountry. I think as opposed to things like maybe Bryce or Zion or Grand Canyon, you see a lot of people out on the trails.
I'm surprised. It's such a beautiful national park. But yeah, it's not super popular.
So was there any point in the route where you were concerned that you might have to turn around?
I actually was at the very last waterfall. There was, I don't know, maybe 1.5 or 2 miles to go. And I really didn't want to go back. But oh, wow. I didn't really see how to get down. And this was the point when I ran into this couple. Like, it was such a great coincidence. Mm-hmm. And we helped each other getting down at waterfall.
That's really serendipitous. I know, turning around really and reversing 24 miles on a route that you think is only 26. So that's pretty rough.
Yeah. Well, I always bring enough food for at least double the distance. Mm-hmm. And there was apparently enough water because it was in it.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been terrible. It was just like, yeah.
Do you think that it would be better to do the route in reverse so that you are up climbing these waterfalls at the beginning?
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it the other way, I think. It's much more fun going with the river. Mm-hmm. And also if you do it at the beginning, then you're just all soaked and wet. Mm-hmm. And if you know what you get yourself into, it's not that terrible. Mm-hmm. It was just really that I didn't read about it. I would totally do it again now that I know. I think it's much less scary when you know.
Yeah, route familiarity is important. So I know you mentioned at the beginning you were on a trail. Was it a trail? Like, is this route marked? Or because you mentioned having to find your way down the waterfalls. So were you just a mix of navigating and following a trail? Or did you use a GPS?
Yeah, I always have the maps downloaded. But so the first part of the trail, Coeb Canyon through the Grand Wash, is very well marked. And well, there's a fair amount of people on there too. So those are proper trails. Lower Spring Canyon from the side I went into was not very obvious. So at first, you go in there from the road, at least the FKT road goes in there, and I totally ran by. And then I noticed that I missed it, so that was not obvious. And you have to go through some bushes, go through the river. And then it's not really marked, but there's also no way out because you're in this canyon. So there's only one way through. I would say it's hard to get lost. And then the third part through Sulphur Creek it's not a marked trail, but it's a pretty obvious trail. And then the rest again is in a river with no way out.
So right.
You're stuck. There's only one way. The route finding wise, this was pretty easy.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I've done some canyon routes where there's a lot of side canyons. And sometimes the side canyons look just as big as the main canyon. So I wondered if you had any issues with that, but it sounds like it was pretty straightforward.
Some of these canyons and slot canyons in Utah too. I don't do too many of them because there I'm also actually getting scared. I'm scared getting lost in there, never finding out again or getting stuck or whatever.
Yeah, there's definitely a high risk, especially going down canyons that you haven't been to before.
Yeah, I think doing stuff in national parks is typically safer because the trails are normally very well marked and well traveled. Mm-hmm. I've done some routes in Emigrant Wilderness, and there were some trails that were not maintained at all, and it was impossible to follow, so you just had to bushwhack for miles and miles.
Mm.
Yeah, there it's easy to get lost, or you just run into a part where you can just not go through anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like you ended a cliff or whatever, and you have to turn around, find the way around the cliff, or just turn around for good.
Right.
I feel like stuff like this won't really happen in national parks. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't happened to me yet.
I know you're based in California, and so I think probably a lot of your FKTs are in the desert because of proximity. But I feel like the desert and canyon travel is very unique, and you either love it or you hate it. So I'm curious what it is you find it most enjoyable about it.
Yeah, most enjoyable. I think what I really love about the desert is, and canyons in general, it's so diverse and so colorful, and it's just so beautiful. Especially the first time I went, this is a big example, but the Grand Canyon, of course, which is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. You drop down into this canyon and you see all these layers of time, all these different stones and formations, and it just changes like so much. The variety is just amazing. It's so beautiful. And then also the temperature changes, the wildlife changes. You just get to experience so much going into the desert, into a canyon. Yeah, and then of course the extremes, like I've run quite a bit in Death Valley. The hottest day I've been there was 131. And
wow.
I ran, it was crazy hot. I mean, you have to be really well heat acclimated to go running at extreme heats like this. I would actually not recommend it. I went running in the morning, but it was only 120.
Only.
But, it's just, yeah, it's just so beautiful because no one is there. You just get to experience these canyons all by yourself. Yeah, it's the wildlife that you always run into, I think, is really cool. Sometimes you even get to see some flowers if you're there early in the year. And flowers in the desert, that's just, I think, always an experience.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I love the desert as well for a lot of the reasons you mentioned. And I think one of the things that always strikes me is that the desert doesn't take much to remind you that you don't belong there. Like all of the animals and the wildlife and the plants, they have all these adaptations. I mean, you can see it when you run into them, how well adapted they are for the desert. And I just feel like I'm constantly reminded how poorly adapted I am in the desert. And there's just something very appealing about being in this place where you know that you're at a disadvantage, but exploring it and exploring yourself in relation to it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's partially really humbling, and it's just so great to be able to be part of it, at least for a short while.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest challenge you've encountered? Probably water would be one of them, but doing a lot of things in the desert and in canyons.
Yeah, there's definitely water is a huge challenge of it either being too little or being way too much, which is funny because you would never think of too much water being a problem in the desert, right? Or in canyons. The biggest challenge, I think it's the heat, for sure. Heat is really dangerous. Definitely worried and very cautious about heat strokes because it's just so easy to get one and then get lost, because from everything I read or from what a friend of mine has experienced, you can get very easily disoriented.
Yeah, it's the extremes of the desert are, like you said, it's either too much water or too little water. It's too hot or it's too cold. I've spent a lot of time in Death Valley, and it can be 100 in the valley in the day, and then you go up into the mountains and you camp and it's 20 degrees that night. You know, it's just
easy.
The desert is just so extreme, and it can be very extreme on one end and the other in the same day.
Yeah, in a very short period of time.
Yeah. And I feel like that makes it harder to plan too, especially if you're going out for a longer route, whether it's an FKT or otherwise, because you have to plan for these extremes.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever done anything really long in the desert. In canyons, yes, but not in Death Valley. One of the FKT routes I would really like to do, but I'm too scared to do it so far. So I'm running from the lowest point to the highest point, like mm-hmm. from the basin up to Telescope Peak. And I recently saw that Ashley had done it. So yeah, I'm going to do this too now.
Yeah.
It seems like such a cool route. But again, water is a problem because I think there's only one water source on the way and I'm not sure if we can actually drink the water.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm intrigued by that route as well. I've climbed Telescope, but the normal way, mainly because I couldn't get somebody to drive me around. But I remember when I did it, I looked down the route that goes toward Badwater and I was like, I want to do that.
I had the same thought when I was up on Telescope Peak. I was like, that seems like such a good idea, just doing this directly up in town. And surely there's an FKT route.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. All of these things where you're just like, this looks like a really great idea. And then you do it and you're like, maybe that wasn't actually the idea that I thought it was. Yeah. So do you have any other FKT plans? It seems like you're setting FKTs all the time. Do you have some big goals this year or anything you're interested in?
I don't really plan this. I get temporarily really obsessed with it and I don't have much vacation at the moment, so I cannot do very much. And I just forget about it. And then I re-remember it and then I forget about it again. But yeah, for this year, I would really like to set another FKT in Germany when I go home, just to explore more of the FKT scene back home. One of my favorite routes was actually turned into an FKT, which I thought was really cool. And then maybe for next year, I have to save up some vacation, but I would really like to do California 14ers. Something longer. I'm not really fast, so I'm better at longer stuff. This is probably why my FKTs are longer, because I cannot beat the fast ones.
I 100% get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the FKT scene like in Germany?
I had no idea that it was actually a thing in Germany. So I was surprised there were some even around my hometown. I'm from this remote village in the middle of nowhere in Germany, but there's some really cool routes. The fun thing is that you often have to run through beer gardens because there's just no way around. The hiking trails just go straight through beer gardens. So you don't have any of the problems that you have here. Nothing is really remote. Yeah, you get to run through these beer gardens. You always run past at least one castle ruin or through caves, along caves. So I think that's pretty special and cool.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and telling us a little bit about your experiences, and look forward to following along on what you do next.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really fun talking to you.
Thanks, Nadia, for coming on the show. You can check out all of her FKTs on the website, fastestknowntime.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, this is Heather on the FKT Podcast.